Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join with us here tonight. Stick with us until midnight and even give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you. Our telephone lines are open. They're toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray, Father, that you would bless, Lord, that you'd use the program tonight, help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight, and something that we do, something that we talk about, that you could use that to point people to Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, wanted to kind of get at a few things here this evening as we get into a topic here. I was kind of going to pick up where we were at last week, talking about what I believe is a coming Arab-Israeli regional war. I think it'll go nuclear based on some of the prophecies in the Bible. And I'll tell you what, things that are happening over there in the Middle East today don't do much to persuade me otherwise. Over the weekend, of course, the stories are out, I think starting Friday or whatever, about Israel had attacked a base inside of Iraq, or in, not Iraq, inside of Syria, Syrian base. They were taking out some shore-to-ship missiles that the Russians had sent to the Syrians, and their fear was that the Syrians in turn would turn them over to Hezbollah, I'm sure, and that it would be used against the Israeli ships. And so they went in, and I found it very interesting that nobody knew anything was about to happen. There's no radar warning or anything until all of a sudden the explosions started going off, and nobody was even sure who did it. Our country, our administration, our current administration actually leaked it to the world that it was the Israelis. And the Israelis, they were just going to let it go and not say anything. Everybody kind of suspected it was them. But we told the world, we released who it was. And it appears what happened was actually Israeli submarine, one or more submarines basically lobbed some cruise missiles in that took out these ship-to-shore missiles that the Russians had sent to the Syrians. Now, the reason that's important is because that's ratcheted up some of the tension. Syria had previously said when Israel had struck at targets inside of Syria a few months ago that if they ever did it again, that they would attack Israel along the Golan Heights. And so you've got Syria massed in that area with Hezbollah out of Lebanon, and now even some Palestinians, Taliban troops and sympathizers out of Palestine, or not Palestine, I'm sorry, Pakistan, have come into Syria. And so there's a tinderbox there on the northern side of Syria, and or northern side of Israel with Syria in that area. And then again, in addition to that, the situation in Egypt is not getting any better. Our United States government, our current administration, is pressing the Egyptian military and expressing their displeasure that they have not let the Muslim Brotherhood go quietly into the night, but that they have been basically attacking the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, that's partly because the Muslim Brotherhood has joined with a number of other groups, and they are kind of basing themselves out of the Sinai Peninsula, and they have been attacking targets, Egyptian military targets and facilities, and trying to mount some attacks even into Israel. And so with the Israeli permission, the Egyptian military last week flew a helicopter gunship over the Gaza Strip to go after some of these Islamists that were terrorists that were in that area. So it's almost like we're doing our best to isolate Israel, and they and then to express our displeasure that they're defending themselves. And a lot of stuff going on in the world, but as we were talking about, there's evidence in the Bible that these very areas where we see these things taking place, that there may very well be a regional war that's going to encompass Israel and Jordan, what makes up Jordan today, and Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, the Gaza Strip, that would be the main areas, and we'll talk about a little bit of that here this evening. But also, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We have Ronald calling in, and we'll go ahead right to that call. Ronald, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I'd like to talk about the connection between Shane French, who's Rover's Morning Glory radio show, and Travis Trayvon Martin. The Bible
between who?
Well, the Bible talks about falsely accusing, and
I didn't catch what you said. Between what morning show? I don't know what you're talking
Rover's
about.
Morning Glory show, radio show. He was it was in the article in the Plain Dealer Friday.
I don't get the Plain Dealer. I'm not really sure.
I'll review it quickly.
We'll make it quick because I will confess up front. As far as that trial goes, I haven't really followed it much. I really haven't. So go ahead.
Well, it comes down to Travis Martin, what he could have done in having respect for Zimmerman. Here, French was shooting off fireworks at the slips at the boat docks downtown. I drove back and forth across downtown, and a lot of fireworks going off in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, someone asked him not to shoot off fireworks. He refused. The person stepped on his lighter and ended up being a police officer. He identified himself as a police officer. Anyway, French didn't believe that, started to walk away, turned around and pushed a cop in the back. I don't believe you're a police officer, French reported, I'm reading from the article. The officer told a nearby security guard to call the police and told French he was under arrest and basically got arrested and taken off to jail. But what my point I'm trying to put out is that people should have respect for other people. I believe that Trayvon Martin could have done something different. You know how it is when you trespass on somebody's grass so you look suspicious.
Yeah.
Say, I'm sorry, didn't mean to do it, such like that. And it just seems like people lack respect in the world.
I'd absolutely agree with that, yeah.
So no matter what you think about the trial or Zimmerman,
yeah,
we know now that Trayvon Martin was on top and bloodied his nose. You know what happens when you break your nose? It could cause all kind of sinus mm-hmm. problems in the future, and it's bad. And Zimmerman could have gone unconscious and did what he had to do. That's what we sort of think, but what we have to look at is what Trayvon Martin could have done, and that's my point for tonight.
Well, and that's a valid point, because I think one thing you bring up in a larger context is, you know, the coarsening of our society, and tell me if this kind of fits with what you're talking about. Our society's got to the point where rather than, you know, be long-suffering with people, least little thing, we just have to overreact.
Yeah, there are other options. Certainly at first, you know, to brush it off and apologize and say, I didn't mean to alarm you.
I agree with that. And like I said, I apologize for not being familiar with, you know, the individual and the story there and all. But you're right. We do live in a society where people overreact. You know, a child in first grade you know, comes to school and he, you know, chews his peanut butter sandwich into the shape that looks sort of like a gun and he gets the police called. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? We overreact as a society and all. But, yeah, we need a little return of common sense and civility in our society today. And I think when if we had a Bible literate society, and I'm not saying just all Christian, because I know that's never been the case and it's not going to be the case anytime soon. But if we had a little bit more Bible literate society, a little bit more appreciation for God and for each other, I think we would have a lot fewer problems than what we have today.
You have to realize our country was founded on biblical principles.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
A Christian nation.
Yeah, in fact, several of the founding fathers said our country would never work without a moral and righteous people. And I think we're seeing that today, the breakdown of biblical morality in our society. And so, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear some other callers for tonight.
Well, appreciate that. We got some calling in. So
listening.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening. And, okay, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Robin calling next. And, Robin, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. I'm just calling
that. Hello? I think we just lost our caller there. Give us just a moment there. I think we just lost, are you still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you back now. All of a sudden I lost you there for a minute. We're having a problem here. Can you hear me, Robin?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Go ahead and keep on talking.
Okay. I was just simply saying, us as Christians,
mm-hmm.
how is it that we can provoke not only the young people, but people in the church and outside of the church to go beyond and as the previous caller said, use our common sense, but also relate it back biblically so that we can create change. I know a lot of us, we talk about change and what we think we should have done, but we don't do anything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To promote change.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point there. We talk about it, but we don't do anything. Let me share with you Ephesians chapter 4 here. Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 31, Paul writes this. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And then he says this in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And, you know, it starts with us as believers remembering that God has forgiven us of much, hasn't he? And when we think of that, we ought to be more forgiving of each other. We ought to be long-suffering. We ought to be willing to, you know, forgive one another and be kind one to another. Put away malice and bitterness and wrath. Those are things the devil stirs up, and he loves to stir those up and get even Christians fussing at each other because he knows he wins a victory. And then if he can do that with Christians, then he certainly can do it with the unsaved. Let me give you a companion passage to that in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12 and 13 here where it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness," and I like this, "long-suffering," and then he says, "forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And that forbearing, you know, means, you know, bearing with somebody. Somebody does something, you don't understand it, you know, bear with them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And we're quick to be offended in our society today. We're quick to have to get even. We're quick to have to, "Oh, why, I'm not going to put up with this. Who do they think they are?" And we're quick to fly off the handle, aren't we?
Yes,
and,
we are.
Yeah, and I think these two passages here that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, I think they do kind of touch on some of what you were saying. You know, what can we do? Well, there it is. Make an effort ourselves individually as Christians to let these things be our guideline. And as we live that before others and before our children, and model that. You know, a lot of kids grow up, they see their parents fussing and fighting with each other, fussing and fighting with the neighbors, fussing and fighting with their own family members. And then the kids grow up fussing and fighting, and the parents say, well, where'd they get that from? Mm-hmm. Oh, they didn't get it from God, did they?
No.
So, yeah, I appreciate that. And you have something else you want to add to that?
Yes, and I was just thinking, you know, we have so many different issues going on in the society today
mm-hmm.
that are affecting not just youth, but older people,
right.
women just general. But how do we introduce that platform and start addressing more of those issues in the church? Although mm-hmm. we speak about them in the church, we're not really always addressing those particular mm-hmm. issues that are facing people today. You know,
right.
where is it that we introduce these things into the house of God so well, that we can deal with them in the church and also be able to help the community?
Yeah, and that's good. And speaking as a pastor, this is where I think pastors have failed. And I can speak that way because I am one. And, you know, this is where we failed as pastors. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he wrote two letters to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And he was writing to Timothy to instruct him, to help him as a pastor. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he wrote this in 2 Timothy 4, starting verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And, you know, I think this is where pastors are failing. We find ourselves preaching everything but the Word of God. We find ourselves preaching the morning news, you know. We find ourselves preaching, self-help stuff. We find ourselves preaching, how to feel good about yourself and your cat. You know, we find ourselves preaching how to, keep your house clean and be presentable, but we're not preaching the Word of God. And that's where it starts, because he says, preach the Word of God. And then he warns, he says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And the problem is pastors are turning away from preaching the sound words of God. They're preaching the words of men. They're preaching the latest fads. They're preaching the latest, whatever to come down the pike. And they're not preaching the Word of God. And people mm-hmm. don't want to hear it. And so the pastors, rather than continue to hold up the Word of God, they compromise their message. They give people what the people think they want to hear rather than what God wants them to hear. And I think if we preach the Word of God, we would solve some of these problems. It might sound a little simplistic, but, I mean, God said preach the Word. And that would be my suggestion, is that wherever possible, starting with pastors leading the charge, we need to preach the Word of God. And then the mature Christians in the church, those that are teaching Sunday school classes, those that are teaching the young people, those that are ministering to and mentoring people within the church, they need to do the same thing. They need to lift up the Word of God, and they need to see lives change, because the Bible is a living Word. It goes into the heart, and it changes people's attitudes, you know, from the inside out. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the only way that can be accomplished is when we preach the Word of God. The washing of the water of the Word will change people's hearts, change people's attitudes. The Holy Spirit will get a hold of them and begin to squeeze the heart and change, what's on the inside. And out of the abundance of the heart, you know, out of the treasures of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we need to We need to preach the gospel, lift up Jesus Christ, tell people they need to be saved, and get people into the Word of God. And that's what we've stopped doing in churches by and large. And as a pastor, I can say that. Pastors have missed the boat here. We've compromised, and we've turned away from the Word of God for the Word of men. But appreciate your calls tonight there. And if you got something else real quick, we can get that. But I got a couple more calls coming in. So, all right. Well, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate that. Brought up some good comments here tonight. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Pamela on hold waiting next. Pamela, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome. Glad to have you on tonight.
Thank you. I really called in tonight just to ask for a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a friend today due to domestic violence, and her husband, he beat her to death.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, love covers a multitude of sin. And, you know, it's never something you expect.
Right.
So I'm just calling in tonight really for prayer for me as her friend, her family, her children that she leaves behind. And, you know, for him, they did catch him. But.
Right. Well, certainly we can hold them up in prayer. God knows who they are. And certainly encourage our listeners to pray and hold this family up in prayer. It's a tragic circumstance. And you know, when you think about stories like that, you know, it's the very first institution that God created really was the family, the husband and wife. And whenever something like this happens, you know, I believe it's a direct satanic attack upon people because, you know, that's the first institution God created, and that institution, the relationship between the husband and wife, should picture the relationship between Christ and the church. And God very specifically had Paul write in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And when you hear of a tragedy like this, that's a direct perversion of what God taught. It says in verse 28, so ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. And you know, we look at this, the husband should be the one protecting, nourishing, cherishing, and watching over his wife and willing to give himself, even his own life, for that of his wife. And when you hear stories like this, to me, that just underlies the whole perversion that the devil makes of this picture of Christ in the church. Jesus didn't beat up the church. He died for it. And when you hear a story like this, it's a direct attack on that picture that God set in the Scriptures. And I'm not saying that to any way minimize what happened in the case of your friend, because that's a tragedy. And we certainly need to pray for the family, the children that are left behind, and for him, that God could get a hold of his heart, that he could trust Christ as his Savior, find forgiveness in Christ. And, you know, it's just, this is why we need to preach the Word of God and try to do our best to see people trust Christ and get saved. Because if we can change people one life at a time, it'll make a difference. It really will. You know, it's really the only thing that we can do is point people to Christ, lift up Christ, and urge people to get saved, because the Holy Spirit working in the life of somebody can do a lot more than you or I can hammering on them from the outside. But Pamela, I want to thank you for that call. Anything else you wanted to add? Got just about a minute or two to go for the break here.
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. Certainly pray for you too, because when you lose a friend, it's hard. You know, it's hard. You lose a friend yeah, it's a difficult thing. The more you care for somebody, the harder it is. A friend of mine lost his wife recently, suddenly, unexpectedly, and I was talking to him, and he had a difficult time, still going through a difficult time. It hurts. The more you care for somebody, the bigger the hole is when they're torn away from us. And so certainly pray for you, Pamela, for your friend's family, and that God would be able to minister to their hearts, and that this one that did this could hear the gospel and find salvation in Christ someday. So appreciate that. Thank you very much, Pamela. We've got a break coming up here. I want to thank you for your call. And we have got, I think, about a minute to go before the break. And I think we can squeeze Grover in here briefly here. We got just about a minute. Grover, you're on live or Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hey, Brother Al.
Hey, good evening. Got to make it quick. Got about a minute.
Okay, it ain't going to take very long. Remember the gay parade they had down there 2 weeks ago?
Okay, yeah.
Ken and I and a lot of us went down.
Right.
But, I prayed for a good man to come into the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of stole him for Cleveland Baptist. That's beside the point.
You're a sheep rustler there, Pastor Grover.
yeah. But anyway, he's our deacon now. So he made up, I missed church last Wednesday, but he's a writer too.
Mm-hmm.
So
got about 30 seconds. Yeah, hurry up.
Well, don't hang me up after a while, because I'm going to continue this up. But anyway, he made a letter. I don't know if you're going to beat that out. Am I allowed to say some of the churches that was involved in the gay parade?
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut you right there at the moment because our break is coming up. And so,
I'll hold on.
Oh, okay, we'll see what we can do. But thank you for calling
in. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor. Late Night Live host Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us, and haven't pointed this out in a while, but every once in a while I like to point out that if you do have trouble getting us on the air, you can always listen in on the website for the radio station here. That's whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And that's they stream live everything that's on here. Or if you go to our website, live.maplenoel.us, that's live.maplenoel.us. I have got a link there as well to the radio station where you can listen anywhere. You can listen anywhere in the world. You could be sitting in the middle of Beijing, China, and listen online if you want to. And we hope that you do. But, we're just brought to you tonight, of course, by our church, my home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. Certainly invite you to come out and visit if you're looking for a church home where we preach the Bible. And I'm preaching right now Sunday mornings in the Gospel of Luke. We're in the middle of chapter 6, just went through the Beatitudes this morning. And Sunday nights we're still preaching through the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible. And just finished up chapter 36 here this evening. And then on Friday nights, we have an open forum where we talk about whatever you want to talk about, our Friday night Bible study. And we invite you to come. All those services and Bible study are held at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, right where the Ohio Turnpike Interstate 80 crosses the Interstate 77. Midway between Akron and Cleveland. Love to have you stop out and visit us. Of course, we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza has also got calzones, strombolis, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. And East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road across from the high school. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 for pickup or delivery. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Mentioned that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5 at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights across from the high school on Turney Road at 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in opening your own pizza business, your own pizza shop, call East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100 and ask to speak with Gus. He can tell you how you can get set up with your own pizza shop without all the high franchise fees. And so invite you to check out our sponsor there. Great pizza, I know that from personal experience. All right, well, it's a couple other things I want to mention before we get back to our calls and things. And, of course, those numbers, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. It's toll-free. We'll get you on the air here this evening. I wanted to mention here before we get back to our calls and things that last week I was talking about what I believe is the coming Arab-Israeli regional war. And we were going through some of that, and we may get back to a little bit of that yet tonight. If not, in later weeks, we'll pick up on some of this. But I did write a little booklet called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, subtitled Setting the Stage for the Rise of the Antichrist and the Coming Ezekiel 38 Invasion of Israel. And if you go to our website, at live.maplenoel.us, that's live.maplenoel, MAPLEKNOLL.US. You can find a link to where you can order this booklet as an ebook online, and the money that we raise from that helps to support this program. And if you don't have access to getting an ebook online, if you want, you could send me a note at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio. That's Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, zip code 44286, Richfield, Ohio 44286. and tell me that you'd like a copy of The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. And if nothing else, I can print you off a copy on my computer, and I can send that to you if you'd like that. If you'd like to add something there to help keep us on the air, help take care of the program's needs there, we'd sure appreciate it. We don't talk about the funding on the radio program too much. God's been good. But, you know, we do have needs like anything else. It costs money to be on the air. It costs, up front, honest, people ask me every once in a while, costs $150 to be on the air here tonight. And that's really a good price considering how far the coverage is. And it's due to people like yourself that make it possible for us to be on the air. And I'll guarantee we're probably the smallest church that's on the air with a radio ministry. And the only reason we're able to do that is because of God and God's people. So we appreciate everybody that's helped us out. And, again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and I believe that Grover is still with us. And, Grover, welcome back on. And you had mentioned before we got cut off on the break. Yeah, we mentioned before getting cut off on the break there about different churches. In the interest of time, I don't think we need to go through a list of the names of the churches that were there.
I'll tell you what we've done.
What's that?
I'll tell you what we did. I'm not going to mention no churches. We went out visiting yesterday, and I told you about the note that my deacon, his name is John. But anyway, we went out and visited these three so-called churches. We left them a nice letter. We put it in their box and stuff. And I was kidding you know who that our pastor is. I ain't even going to mention his name either. You there?
I'm just listening. I'm trying to follow.
So we left them a nice note. We told them that the flag they got on there had a symbol. That flag stood for a promise, a covenant that the world would never be destroyed.
Okay. Let me interrupt just a second there, Grover. I misunderstood what you were saying earlier. It wasn't clear what you were saying before the break because we kind of had to cut off suddenly there. I thought you were talking about churches that were there protesting. You're talking about churches that were supporting. Okay. Yeah, they had the rainbow flag out front, right? There was I know there was a church in Brecksville that used to fly the rainbow flag too. They took a symbol that God gave Noah as a symbol that he would never destroy the world with a flood because of the wickedness of man like he did back in the Old Testament. And they've done what the devil always does. They've perverted that symbol and made it stand for immorality. That's what they've done, yes.
I got one more thing to say. Mm-hmm. I don't want to use it. But when we went, me and my deacon, we went down. Some of the others were talking to us, six of them. He and I got down serious. We were crying. I was crying, Brother Al. Mm-hmm. They said there was six of them came over by us. I was actually crying. I mean, tears in my eyes. You know what? You know what they said, Brother Al?
What's
that? You know what? You are the most dedicated person I ever seen. How can we get out of this? I said, just ask Jesus to come into your heart.
Well, that's a good testimony.
All six of them accepted Christ there, and they walked away.
Amen. Well, that's a great testimony. I appreciate that, Grover. And thank you guys for standing.
And I gave them my telephone number, and one of them has already called.
Amen.
He says she's in one church. I'm not going to name the church. I went to the church tonight, and she's in the church. Thank God for the...
And again, Grover, I apologize. I misunderstood you in the beginning there. I thought you were talking about church protesting, but appreciate that.
I'm going to name one. Don't eat no more Lay's potato chips.
All right. Well, appreciate that, and thanks again. Got another caller calling in. So
we're protesting them.
All right, we're going to have to let you go, And again, thank you for your call there, Grover. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673, our toll-free number. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear you. And, we got Alex on the line, I believe. And, Alex, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, we got Alex coming in. Hello, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Alexander Doak. Basically, I just wanted to reach out to the young people developing on ministry and how to develop into ministry. Number one, they have to have a heart that is chasing after God.
Right. That's a good point.
And number two is then they also have to have a good prayer life, meaning they can't just, you know, get up and pray in the morning and they'd be like, okay, well, you know, I said a prayer this morning, so that should be fine all the way through the day. No.
Right. Got to be an attitude of prayer throughout the whole day, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And then number three, they have to have a good spiritual covering.
Right.
If they don't have a good spiritual covering, they will go wrong. I've seen it done so many times.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, with me, I have a good spiritual covering.
Well, that's why Paul asked for people to pray for him, to keep him up in their prayers. And,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that he could do the ministry God called him to.
Right. And then the last thing is that they have to stay focused.
Right.
That's the main thing. If they don't stay focused, they'll fall for anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, I would add two things to that. Like you said, to stay focused, the way to do that is to stay in the Word and in prayer. And,
right.
And then here's another thing. Acts chapter 13, in the beginning of the chapter there, this is when Paul and Barnabas went out on the first missionary trip. And God was going to do an amazing work with these men. And it's really a great study if you take the time to break down those first several verses there, first four or five verses, and just kind of quickly touching on it. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. And if you pause for just a moment, if you want to have a successful ministry, there's where it starts. You know, it starts.
Right.
We need to be involved in a good Bible-believing church, a church that lifts up Jesus Christ and His Word. And of course, it goes without saying, to be a member of a Bible-believing church, you got to be a Christian. You got to be born-again Christian.
Right.
And then as it says in this church, it says there were certain prophets and teachers, and it's Barnabas and Simeon, it was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. That Saul is the one who became the Apostle Paul. And so you have in the church people who are already serving God within the church. And when God wanted to call Paul and Barnabas into a special ministry, where did he find them? He found them serving in their local church. And I once preached a message a long, long time ago. I think I was when I was a missionary down the Samoan Islands. And I said, if you're not willing to push a broom in front of the pulpit, you're not worthy to preach the word in the pulpit.
Oh, that's good.
You know, we have to be willing to serve. And I believe God will reach into the local church just like he did here in Acts chapter 13. And when he wants somebody to do something, he's not going to find them sitting at home waiting until the light comes on to tell them what to do. He's going to find them doing something inside of a local church somewhere, because the Bible says here in verse 2, Acts 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. So they're ministering already. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they were in the local church ministering when God called them to a special ministry. And a lot of people are thinking, what does God want me to do? And I think, well, first and foremost, be sure you're saved and get into a good Bible-believing church, a church that's serving God and lifting up Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And then find an area of ministry, even if it's just cleaning the church. God will bless that faithfulness. And he'll reach into that church and he'll pick those people out that are already doing something. And he'll give them a special ministry.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there's more to it, but that's sort of the synopsis. I could spend an hour, I think, just on that passage. But it's a good passage if you just study that out. And you'll see also the local church responded in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, you know, into this ministry. So the local church was in tune with the Spirit of God. Paul and Barnabas were in tune with the Spirit of God. God reached in, found people that were already serving, and called them into a special ministry. They went out, and God shook the world with these two men. He really did. But just like what you said, young people need to be finding what God wants them to do with their life. And it's not going to happen, you know, at the movie theater. It's not going to happen, you know, watching TV late at night. It's going to happen when they're serving God in some capacity in the local church. I remember I'm from Richfield. I grew up in Richfield. I pastor in Richfield now, and born and raised there like my dad was, and going back several generations there. But there's a place in Richfield, and it's called the Farnham Manor. And he's a Revolutionary War veteran that was given land. He was in Connecticut, and he was given land in what's called the Western Reserve, which is where Richfield is, and Independence here where the studio's in the Western Reserve. He had this land. He was called Squire Farnham for a while. And when he would hire somebody, he had this stone wall, and he would have them go out, and he would say, listen, this wall here, see this pile of rocks here? I want them on the other side of the wall. And you know, he'd say, can you talk? You throw them over the wall, move them to the other side of the wall, and I'll pay you some wages. And the guy would go out there, and he'd do that. Well, the next day, the guy would show up again for more work, and he'd say, see this pile of rocks alongside the wall here? I don't like them there. I want them on the other side of the wall. And he'd pay the guy another day to go out there and throw them back over the other side of the wall where they were in the first place. And if the guy would not be willing to do that, he didn't think he was willing to or worth hiring. If he wasn't willing to do something that seems silly, he didn't consider him worth hiring. He wanted somebody who would do what he wanted because he was going to be, you know, the boss, pay him wages. And it's just like when I went into the Air Force, I'm in basic training, and what on earth good comes from folding your underwear in 6-inch squares, I don't know. But they make you do it. They make you do it, and if you don't do it, they throw everything on the floor and make you do it again. I mean, why does your bed have to be, made tight enough that it'll bounce a quarter off from it? I don't know. I mean, I've never done it since the basic training. What good was it? But they make us do silly things or made us do silly things when we were in basic training so that they could see if we were willing to listen and willing to do what we were asked to do. And if we weren't willing to do those silly things, then we probably wouldn't have been willing to do the serious things. And I found in my own life, God will do that sometimes with us. He'll give us something to do that we'll think is silly or trivial or even beneath us. And God watches us, and he sees how we take care of that duty and that work. And we do that to the best of our ability, to the glory of God. And just like Paul and Barnabas, they were serving God. They might not have known exactly what God wanted to do with their lives, but they thought, you know, we're going to serve God best we can, do all to the glory of God. And so when God wanted to call somebody into a special ministry, he found these two men serving in the little things. They were faithful in little things, and he blessed them with greater responsibilities. And you know what you'll find as you do that a lot of times is the little things that you do and the little things that were done in your life, God will take those things later on in life and tie them together. And you'll think, wow, Lord, you knew what you were doing when you were making me throw rocks from one side of the wall to the other. I thought it was kind of silly, but you knew what you were doing. You know, you were building up some spiritual muscle there and some faith. And it's amazing. But it's good to pray for our young people and encourage them to find out what God wants them to do. That's a very good sentiment. I appreciate that.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call tonight. I appreciate that call this evening. And I hope you'll give us a call back again sometime. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al here tonight. And we've got a few minutes left in the program. And if you got a question, we can get you in quick, probably. Maybe. You just got about 4 or 5 minutes left. 888-677-9673. Program note, next week, Lord willing, we're going to have a couple guests on. Wrote a book with Unwashed Hands, the Boltons, Daryl and Joni Bolton, about real-life experience as short-term missionaries in a southeastern Asian country, I believe it was, where while they were serving there, Daryl Bolton had a medical emergency come up, and he was put into what accounted for a hospital in that part of the world, third world country, and the doctor that tended to him found out that he was a retired American Air Force officer and basically tried to kill him through medical malpractice to make it look like he died from his injuries or whatever. And it's an exciting story how God blessed and how God saved him and also his wife as Daryl was lying in, you know, in and out of the situation in the hospital and thinking that he was going to die, his poor wife, you know, in a country, a foreign country, not knowing the language and not knowing what's going on and worrying about her husband and having to rely on God and God's grace to deliver them from that situation. Tremendous story of faith and a tremendous story of God's provision. And I hope you'll be able to stay or tune in next week during the first half of our program. At least we're going to try and have them on. Unless something comes up, we have to reschedule, but that's a tentative plan right now. Daryl and Joni Bolton talking about their book with Unwashed Hands, and hope you'll be able to tune in for that. And, of course, a reminder to keep an eye on the situation that's in the Middle East. Things certainly heating up over there. You know, it's anybody's guess. It's a tinderbox over there. And we know from the Bible, and we'll pick this up at some point in the future again. We know from the Bible, Isaiah chapter 17, Isaiah chapter 19, Ezekiel chapter 29, the book of Obadiah, Psalm 83, and many other passages that talk about the coming destruction of Syria, Lebanon, the Gaza Strip, Egypt, and what today is the country of Jordan. And it's important stuff. We need to keep an eye on what's happening. God said we'll know the times, we'll know the season, we can tell that the return of the Lord is drawing nigh. I'm not going to set a date. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I'll give you the date of Jesus' return after the rapture takes place. How's that? That's the safest way to do it. But I just encourage you, don't let the things that are happening in the world get you down. We know that God is victorious. You know, it's like reading a mystery book. You know, you read a mystery book some kind of a thriller, and you think that the hero isn't going to make it. You don't know how he's going to make it, and you flip ahead to the end of the book, and you see how he gets out of it. You see how it turns out. Well, let me tell you, I looked at the end of the book, and if you look in the concluding chapters of the book of Revelation, you can see how it turns out. Jesus wins. And the devil's defeated. So don't let the devil get you down this week. Have a great week and do something for the Lord. Share the gospel with somebody. And if you're not sure about your relationship with Christ, why don't you contact us, or better yet, visit us. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m.
Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.